Well, Lord, we just thank you so much for this time that you've allowed us to all come together in one accord, Lord, and to learn and to fellowship and to pray and to see our prayers being answered too, Lord. That's something awesome. I love to watch that. Man, I tell you what, Lord, if I had kept a log of all the prayers that you have answered, this room couldn't contain all of it, Lord. And I thank you that you do answer our prayers. I thank you, Lord, that we can trust you to answer our prayers, because that's what it says in your word. You're going to back up your word. You always have and you always will. And all you require of us is a little bit of faith. And you know, Lord, you just give us that faith to do it with. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask, Lord, that you guide us tonight, you lead us tonight, direct us tonight, Lord, and to speak only the things that are pleasing to you, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Let's see. Today is the third. It got up to in the 60s today here. A little rain, but it did get up in the 60s, and pretty nice last couple of days, except for the rain, but we can handle that as long as it doesn't get real cold. Anybody got any prayer requests? I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody. And to get unmuted, I think it's Star 6, Matt, is that it? Okay, yeah, Star 6, if you want to unmute and pray about something. Hey, Judy. What's the matter, Judy? Oh, I can't hear you.
Okay, can you now?
I can now. I sure can. All right, we're just asking for prayers, what we're doing. Anybody have any prayer requests? I know Kurt did. Kurt wanted us to pray for Darv. So let's go ahead and pray for him, believe for him. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And we command this crud to go from Darv in the name of Jesus. We command the head congestion to leave. We command the soreness to leave. We command everything that's associated with this crud to leave him in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Darv is healed. Now, Darv, you're healed, brother. Start admitting it and confessing it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that he is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? You know, that crud has made its rounds around here. But, you know, we believe, and once we believe, then it don't stay long. It doesn't stay long. It has to go. Well, some of us had to confess, like myself. I had to confess some things that the Lord had shown us. And once we did that, man, it was over like that. So that's what God's doing. He's cleaning us up a little bit more. It seems like more. Lord, when does it ever end? You know, sometimes we think that. When does it ever end? But we know that God's doing the work, and all we have to do is rest in that knowledge. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request?
Hey, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Something to pray about. Lord, we pray for this person who's doing this ministry over in Portland, Oregon, Lord, and rescuing trafficked girls, Lord, that you will provide for her every need, Lord, for these young ladies that are being brought in to have a new life from all the traumatic and evil stuff that they've been abused with, Lord. And we thank you that you're providing for them, for their every need, Lord. And we thank you for this awesome ministry. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Lord, we just ask that you give the women that are in charge the wisdom and the knowledge to minister to these young ladies. And Lord, that you would speak through them words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and the words of life to them, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we're going to see a mighty, mighty outpouring of your spirit on these young ladies in Jesus' name, that their lives are going to be changed from now on to the life that you want them to walk, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I like those kind of ministries. They set people free. All right. Anybody else? Hey, David. Hi, Tracy. Jeremy.
Hey, Michael. God bless you.
You too. You too. Hey, I got a telephone call from you the other day, or somebody the other day. It might have been Jeremy. But I was in the middle of something that I couldn't get away from, and then I forgot about it until this evening.
You're right. Praise God, you know.
So sorry. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request?
Hey, Michael?
Yes, sir.
I got a couple more things I'd like to pray about.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I really, really want to know you more, Lord. And I know that a lot of people in here probably do want to know you, Lord. But Lord, I pray and I thank you that you're giving me more of you, Lord. More reading in your word daily, spending time with you, Lord. And not only with me, but with my wife, Lord, and us growing together. We thank you for it, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you that my wife's delivery will be pain-free and it will be a healthy baby boy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And, Lord, we wouldn't mind if it was two of them. Oh, man. Come on. Okay.
No, thank you.
All right. Whatever God brings, that's what it is. All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Judy. Can't hear you.
Wasn't on last week. Still can't hear me?
Yeah.
I've got the volume turned up, but anyhow. Since I wasn't on last week, I don't think I asked for prayer for my daughters. I can't remember, but anyhow, I'm asking prayer for them again. But I also have a testimony kind of along with prayer. So the one girl is put in jail, and she's in Florida because that's where the problem was. But she was on this stuff called Spice, which is like a marijuana thing, the synthetic. But I didn't realize how bad she was till I could hear her talk normal now. And so, dear Heavenly Father, I just want you to keep Amy and Angie in prayer and lift them up and protect them both and let Angie see what her sister is going through so that it will help her. And Lord, I want to thank you very much. They put Amy in another cell with some really rough girls, and I was really praying about protection around her. Well, the Lord took those two big girls out of there, put them in another cell. So thank you, Lord, for that. And I give you all the praise. Thank you, Father.
Can't hear you, Michael.
I see. All right, anybody else? You outside, Tracy?
I'm at a meeting. My son comes to this church for activities. So
okay. All right.
Pretty cool. Praise God.
I see. All right.
So you guys got a bug going around on out there? Is that what you said?
Not anymore. It's been the last couple of weeks, and it's been going through the fellowship. But I think everybody's getting over it, getting at the last stages of it anyway. I went through a little of it, and it wasn't nice. It wasn't pretty. I'm not a good sick person.
I don't think anybody really is a good sick person.
Yeah. But, you know, we just get up and go do what we got to do. You know, you can't let it get you down.
No, you can't. I want to pray for my leg. I actually had to schedule surgery for it in a couple of weeks because I have a meniscus tear in my knee, and I prayed and prayed and asked the Lord to show me. If anybody gets something, let me know, but I'm not sure what's going on with it. So, but I did talk to the surgeon for a while, and we talked about Jesus, and I just told him, I said, you know, I prayed. If the Lord heals me, praise God. And I said, have you ever seen anybody miraculously be healed? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, what if he cut into my leg and find out it's healed? Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, anyways, you know, there's got to be some good coming out of this, right?
Amen. So, amen.
Anyways, I do want to pray for that. Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, I just lift myself up, Lord, and I just pray that if it's your will that I have surgery, so be it. But, Father, I don't believe it is. So, Lord, I just command right now my leg to be healed. And Father, I pray that you would show me what it is that's holding the healing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Lord, we just believe it, that she's already healed. That leg's healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Well, hey, Rob. Good to see you, bud. Or good to hear you. Hit *6 if you want to unmute. All right. Anybody got a testimony or praise report or would like to pray about something else?
Yeah, Michael.
Is that you, Marlon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a praise report. When we were coming home yesterday, we stopped to get something to eat at McDonald's. And when we was in there, it just started pouring, just pouring rain. And my wife said, well, we're going to get wet because we didn't have jacket on or nothing, just got out of the car the way we were because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that cold. I said, well, we'll just command that to quit raining when we want to leave and just believe that it's going to quit raining. And I don't know, we said probably another 5 minutes, and when we left, there was not one drop of rain falling. We walked to the car and never had a drop of rain fall on us. So I just praise the Lord that he gives us authority over those kind of things.
Amen. God is good, isn't he? And praise God. Y'all make it back okay then?
We did, yeah. A little rain and fog yesterday, but we stayed in Kansas City, and today the road was clear coming home, but I think somebody told us it was 21 below zero wind chill here this morning.
Marlon, you got to find you a place south of there, brother. That's too cold for most folks.
It'll warm up someday.
Okay. It's whatever you're used to, isn't it? Oh,
yep.
My. All right. Well, praise God. Oh, Andrew's sitting up there in Canada. Good gracious, it gets cold. I'm talking about way cold up there, don't it, Andrew?
It's 32 degrees today here.
Oh, that's a heat stroke.
Yeah, it rained today, actually.
Oh, really? Well, y'all be happy to know it was 65 today, 64, 65, something like that here. All right, anybody else got a praise report, a testimony, or would like to pray about something?
I've got, someone's there.
Go ahead, Claudia.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought somebody else was talking. Okay. A year ago, we had my cousin that was sick, and I found out last week what was the problem. And she's pretty, for the most part, she's healed. It's called a pseudocyst, and everybody's wondering, what is that? A fake cyst? It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, that's what she was told. And on her pancreas, that's right, her pancreas. Anyway, through this whole ordeal, she didn't work for 9 months, and during that time, she had her rent paid for, her utilities paid for, and she doesn't even know who paid for it. And she got closer to her parents. She saw many miracles through this whole thing. So that's one thing that was...
Uh-oh, you lost your audio. Sorry.
It's okay. Our fault, I guess. So anyway, she looked great. I mean, I haven't seen her look that great in years. But, of course, it was quite an ordeal that she went through all that time. But anyway, that's one thing. And the other thing is my aunt, she's 90 years old, and she heard about a story that happened at her place last week or 2 weeks ago. Her neighbor needed a heroin fix. And so her neighbor met the dealer in her driveway. And because it was said that an old lady lives there by herself. So anyway, they met in the driveway, and then the guy didn't have the money for the fix. So what he did, the dealer chased the guy around her house several times. And then after that happened, the neighbor stole the dealer's car. Now, if you can imagine all this, this is going on, and my aunt didn't even know what was really going on at her house. And this happened at night. And then, so the dealer got upset, and he called the police. So the cop arrested both of them, and then the cop came to my aunt's house and told her what happened. And she thought, well, how do I know that you're for real? And so anyway, he told her what happened, and she didn't feel real good about it. So she said, well, go across the street, and I want you to talk to so-and-so. That's her grandson-in-law. He is a cop, or was a cop. And so they recognized each other. So my aunt got the whole scoop on the whole thing. And so so anyway, she was protected through this whole thing, and she felt relieved to know that the story was true because it came from her son-in-law, who is a cop. So here she is, 90 years old, and she went through all that and was protected. So that's a real praise the Lord, I think.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. So she had a little excitement there in her driveway and didn't even know it, huh?
She always likes excitement, but I don't think she would have chosen that.
I wouldn't think so. Awesome. Now, let's go back to the first one you was talking about, a pseudocyst on her pancreas.
Yeah.
And a pseudocyst is not really a cyst. It's a clay-like cyst.
Nobody knows.
It was an infection on her pancreas. I guess it must look like a cyst, but isn't really a cyst.
Oh, okay. That's some of that Dr. Rees talk. Probably.
Say what? Dr. Rees, I see.
Dr. Rees talk. Okay. Praise God. Yeah, pseudocyst. Okay. Wonder if that's in the medical books.
I think it's the...
Who said that?
What? Well, I was starting to talk, but I don't want to interrupt.
Go ahead, Kim.
A pseudocyst, isn't that kind of a transgender cyst?
Kind
of a pole?
Could be. All right. Okay, anybody else got anything they'd like to share? A testimony, a praise report, a song? Huh? Y'all don't want me to sing, but I can.
I'd like to share a testimony. Oh, who's that?
That's me.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Debbie.
Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, thank you. Well, I have a testimony to share. I've had a foot that has been bad for like months. I heard it, I don't know, 8 to 10 months ago. Just, I didn't have shoes on. I was jogging. Can you hear me? Okay. Anyway, it's been bothering me for the longest time. I've been praying for God to heal it, and I wasn't receiving anything, and just been praying for a long time. And I've told my chiropractor about it a couple different times, and he didn't think much of it. He thought he suggested a couple different kinds of soles I could try to use in my foot. I told him how I thought maybe I had fractured a toe. But anyway, I went to the chiropractor again this past week, and on Monday, actually, and was talking about it again. He said, take your shoes off when I see your foot. So he finally looks at it, and he explained all the different things on my foot. He explained the different areas of the arches and how my arches have fallen and just how everything connected and caused all these problems I was having. And he did these painful adjustments on my foot. But it did the trick. It healed my foot. My foot was just fine right then and there. And what I thought I'd really hurt was my big toe. And that still has a big bump on it. And he said this big bump on my toe would be from all the other problems. Everything was just so messed up and out of whack in my foot. So, but after all these months of praying for it, it's fine. So I was very happy, very joyful about that. And I looked at him and I said, praise God. And he said, oh, well, I'm glad I could be here for you. So, but I was able to give God glory.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Good testimony. All right. Judy, go ahead on, girl.
When they were talking the other time about her 90-year-old aunt, made me think of my aunt and uncle. My aunt is over 90, and she has severe back pain. And my uncle, they just found out that he had cancer. So they got it as an aggressive cancer. So I did want to pray for them. They live in Florida for 6 months and Indiana for 6 months. So dear Heavenly Father, I bring up my Aunt Zelma to you and my Uncle George. I'm asking for complete healing of Aunt Zelma's back, and I'm asking for complete healing of Uncle George's cancer, that you will take this completely away, that he won't have to do these chemotherapy things. And they don't have to do any surgery. And I praise you for doing this because they are believers, but they still go to the doctor and all that stuff. So this will really show them that how great of a God we serve. So thank you, Lord, for healing Aunt Zelma and Uncle George. And I give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Ken, did you have something else you want to share?
I got a song.
All right. Go ahead, brother.
I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to put you through that. But I'll send it to you so you can listen if I can figure out how to do it.
Okay.
I'll send it through the chat.
Yeah. I think you go down there to share screen or something.
I don't know. Did you just get it?
Oh, yeah.
I like to listen to it.
Okay. I don't know how good a quality it's going to be. Let's see.
Make sure you tick that first box there, Michael. The first box to the left.
On share screen?
Yeah, then it gives you an option to share computer audio. Make sure you check that box to the left. It should pop up after you hit share screen.
Oh, share computer sound.
There you go. Yep.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Then I'll do it. Well, wait a minute.
Tell a meaning of a word like serene. I thought some movement when I was 16. I can tell the difference between margarine and butter. I can see Saskatchewan without starting to stutter. I can't understand why we let someone else feel all out. Get a broken jaw from beating a fight. I know it's evening when it's time's tonight. I can understand why from the life so holy. They can save a lot of points by saying that head's glory. But I can't understand why we let someone else rule our lives. Let's not go. When they ask us, we force, then we cower. We beg for a peace song. What's the radio?
course. Then we fight. We fight. Once I thought I could make it on the ground, so I said I was in the lost game. Get in line, get in line, son, let's fight and win. I can't understand why you let someone through your life. No, I can't understand why you let someone else through your life. No, I can't understand why we let someone else through our life.
All right, how you get y'all back?
Hover the mouse over like the top of your screen and it should pop up. In the middle, very middle of your computer screen, not the box. Yep, yep, up, up, up.
All I got is a little old bitty screen here for some reason. Let me see here. Let me figure this out. That's the chat. Stop share. Okay. That's better. Now, can y'all hear me? Okay.
Yes, sir.
How was the sound on that?
A lot better than the last one you shared.
Was it? Okay. Okay. Hey, Ken, what flag was that?
I think it's a Scottish flag.
Scottish flag. Sure. Okay. Well, there.
It's a patriotic song, but we don't take it that way. I don't take it that way.
Well, sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I took it as a spiritual song myself. We got to take the land, don't we? Take the land from the old flesh man. The spiritual man takes the flesh land away from the flesh man. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, I liked it. I like Scottish and Irish songs, Celtic songs. I like Celtic songs myself. Okay, anybody else got something they'd like to share?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the name of that song. I kind of liked it. Can you tell me what that was again?
That was A Cop in Hand. Cap.
I'm sorry.
Cap.
I'm back.
Cap in Hand, C-A-P.
Oh, Cap in Hand. Okay. Yeah.
Is that you, Chad?
Yes.
That sounds just like you.
That's, yeah.
Let me get you down here.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Chad. You got anything you'd like to pray about or share?
Well, I might as well share a testimony since I'm on here.
Okay.
I got attacked with sickness. It was actually, I went through it for about 3 days. I haven't experienced that in years, you know, for the last several years, if anything. Like if I felt a fever or sore throat just begin to come on, I rebuke it and it would go immediately. But this time, I don't think I really had a fever, but I felt like there was a knife driven into my throat, and it was almost unbearable to sneeze, cough, and swallow after about the third day. And I was getting ready to go out. Charity and I were preparing to go out on an assignment for spiritual warfare and prayer walking that the Lord was going to be sending us out on the following day after, you know, 3 days of this. And, you know, the Lord gave me grace to stand against discouragement. I really didn't complain during it. You know, I got tempted to to get discouraged, but I really didn't give into it. The Lord gave me a lot of grace to keep a good attitude and to just utilize that downtime. You know, I really couldn't do anything. I was just too exhausted and too hurting too much to get out of bed almost. And so I just communed with the Lord. I had a great time with the Lord. And then Charity and I felt we should give Julie a call down in San Diego and have some fellowship with her. And told her about the trial I was going through. And so she prayed for me and rebuked the sickness. And I was completely healed by the next morning. I felt 90% plus better. I knew I was totally healed. This felt like someone pulled a knife out of the back of my throat. And, you know, there was some remnants of just a little tiny bit of soreness in there for the next couple of days. But I knew I was healed. And so I just praise the Lord for that he gave me the grace to, you know, keep a right attitude. And the reason I felt encouraged from that is because I was wondering, you know, why couldn't I just rebuke it like so many times before and it would just go? And for some reason, I just didn't feel in the spirit like I could do that. I know it has to be the Holy Spirit. You know, Chad can't rebuke a thing and do anything. So I know it has to be the Lord. And God has helped me to, you know, be sensitive to His Spirit. And I just know when I have that authority and when I have that that faith to, you know, rebuke something and it's going to go immediately. And then sometimes I just sense there's something else going on in the spirit, like you mentioned earlier, Michael, about the Lord dealing with our hearts. And so I knew that the Lord just wanted to take me through it a little bit. And so He gave me the grace to, you know, like I said, to keep a right attitude and to not stand against discouragement, not give into it. I was tempted to. I mean, there were a couple times I almost did, and I kind of started thinking, always mad. Maybe we'll just stay home. I guess we can't go anywhere. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. No, I don't know. Just forgive me, Lord. And I repented, and the Lord cleansed me. And then it was shortly after that that Julie prayed and rebuked it, and we agreed, and yeah, I was totally healed the next day. And I've been great ever since. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, Ted, I got the feeling so bad one day. I started repenting. I said, Lord, I'm going back to when I was a year and a half old. I'm going to repent everything from back then. I was feeling tough, brother. And, it broke that day. It broke that evening. Praise God. We had a Bible. A prayer night the night before, and a sister confessed. I forget what it was. You remember what it was, Matthew? Confessed.
What?
Oh, the night that somebody confessed.
Talking about Pam?
Well, you don't have to say any names.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Are you talking about the complaining spiritually?
Yeah, complaining spiritually of some things that had gone on and murmuring, so to speak. And so there was a bunch of us that had to do that. Let's go ahead and pray for Abba Princess.
Chad, after 3 days, you rose again, didn't you, Chad?
Amen.
I'm sorry. What was that? Oh, yes. Rose again. Amen. Hey, good one. Good one. Thank you. I like that. Yeah, good one. I like that. Thank you.
Amen. Tracy, you want to pray?
I'm in a very loud room, guys.
I'll do it. Okay. Abba, we're going to pray for you. Princess is having some problems right now with some oppression. She says she's weighed down spiritually and emotionally to talk. She's been crying all evening. She's kind of drained. So we're going to pray for her, and everybody in here is going to agree with me. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against these spirits of oppression and command them to go from her right now in Jesus' name. You leave her right now in Jesus' name. Spirits of depression, go in the name of Jesus. Every tormenting spirit that's coming against the princess right now, we command you to go from her in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for your hedge of protection around her right now. Any spirits of witchcraft, you go right now in Jesus' name. Any curses spoken against her, we cast them down as null and void in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your hedge of protection completely around her right now that has encapsulated her in the capsule of God's love. And we praise you, Father, that she is delivered from this tormenting spirits in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. Spirits of unforgiveness, you go in the name of Jesus. Princess, if you've got any unforgiveness in your heart, hon, you need to repent of it and confess it. And it's going to be fine. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for delivering Princess from all of these tormenting spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody believe that? Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I agree.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, girl, you're delivered in the name of Jesus. Amen. Marlene says amen. Listen, y'all, everybody that's new on here that wants to receive my emails that I send out to the conference call, I need to get your email addresses so I can add you to the list. We send out things from time to time. That's beneficial for the conference call. So you can either put it on the chat there or send it to me, michael@ubm1.org. Y'all see the chat? Let's see. Well, missed it. Okay, I can do that. I'll type my email in. Anybody else got a testimony, praise report? Just send it to me at that address right there, and I'll get it, and I'll add you to the email list, anybody that wants to receive it. Okay, anybody got anything they'd like to share? Any words from the Lord? Any dreams? Any visions?
Hey, hello.
Hey, Joshua.
Hey, how are you? I know that I have been having a couple dreams myself. I just like to, if I can, share one with you guys, see what you think.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. So I had a dream a couple days ago. It was, in these dreams where the Lord takes me, I don't know where I'm at. I just appear there. I was sent to this church, and I was sitting in the pews with these people, and these people were, pushing in these two women. They were women for some reason, and they were very, very sick. They were on the verge of about to die right there. So they were about to pray for them, and I was sitting there watching them, and all of a sudden, in this dream, I felt it physically too in my body, which is pretty cool. But the Spirit of the Lord came onto me so strong, I stood up and I looked at her and I said, "Daughter, this day you will not die, but be healed in the name of Jesus." And right there, just saying it, she was instantly healed. And then another, the second woman that was ahead of her, I don't know what happened, but I guess apparently she was healed as well. And there was a third woman too that was struggling with I don't know what it is, but she kept in this dream, she kept passing out and dying right there. I don't know what that is, but what happened is I walked up to this woman after she fell down. She got back up and she was alive again, and she looked at me like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Just let me pray for you. The Lord is here." And then instantly, when I just laid hands on her, I instantly got to see the spirit of death leave her, followed by other demons. And I didn't even do anything. I just put my hands on her, and that was it. So I've been having a lot of dreams on this, the same thing, going to churches and doing that. And see what you all think about that.
Have you prayed for people and they've been healed before?
I prayed for people before to be healed, and no, I don't think so. Not off the bat, right off the way, but no.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Lord is trying, looks to me like the Lord is trying to up your faith another level to believe that when you do lay your hands on somebody, that they're going to be healed. You're in great expectation that when you lay your hands on a sick person, they're going to be healed. And when you lay your hands on a dead person, they're coming alive. And he's preparing you, looks like, for a ministry. I don't know that. You know, I'm just saying what it sounds like. Anybody else got anything else? Because that's the kind of thing that he used to show me. And we've seen great miracles because of it. But you have to, when he shows you a dream, Joshua, it's for you to believe, okay? It's for you to grab a hold of it and say, okay, praise God, here, I'm going to do this. And it could also be that in the days ahead, that when the anointing comes, that this could be part of that. But I believe it's for right now.
Amen. Yeah, I feel that almost confirming as well in my spirit as well. I've had also many other dreams of that, but also too, the Lord is, I don't want to like upset anyone, but the Lord has been showing me, and I hope I'm allowed to share it. I've been having a lot of dreams of, I'm just going to say it, I've been seeing a lot of World War III in my dreams. I've been seeing it for a couple of years now. And the last one that I saw very vividly, like very clear, and that it just was so real. I was, the Lord likes to bring me back to my childhood home a lot. I know the house still very well in my hometown. So I was sitting at my hometown and in my home on the backyard there, and I was hearing this loud screeching noise, like I can't explain it, up in the sky. And the sky was gray. I remember that. It was very dark, very gloomy. And I remember looking up, and all of a sudden, I knew what the screeching was. The screeching was a huge jumbo jet falling from the sky. And I got a closer look at this jumbo jet, like I can't explain it. In this dream, I got a closer look at it. And I kid you not, it was Air Force One. And it was falling, and then it crashed next door to my house. It missed me, of course, and but it hit my neighbor's house, and then of course it engulfed in flames and blew up, and the flames flew over to my house, and I had a hose and I sprayed it and it doused the flame. But I've been having a lot of dreams of that and nuclear detonation as well, if anyone else has had that.
Oh, gosh, we've got all kinds of dreams on the site of World War III and nuclear bombs and all that stuff. Yeah, that's going to happen. It's going to be a World War III, but I think it's going to be a while yet. It's going to be after tribulation starts, according to what the Word of God says. But, yeah, you're right on, brother. That's going to happen. I don't know about the Air Force One coming down. Was there anybody on board that was still alive?
No, the plane was completely destroyed. Nothing was left.
Okay. Do you know if the president was on there?
I have no idea. I was not told. I perceived it more likely in my dream that there was the president on it. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I can't tell you 100% sure.
We do know that for sure that Donald Trump's going to be president for 3.5 years. Don't know after that, but we do know for a fact the Lord has told us that he's going to be president for 3.5 years. What happens after that, I don't know. And also that he's going to come to Christ in a mighty way. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's a good dream. Both of them. Good dream. Yep. Get out there and start laying your hands on people as the Lord directs us.
Can I weigh in on that, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Tracy.
Well, I'm kind of cheating because Josh is my friend, but no, he's from uh, he's with us in Peter's ministry. But with the first one, with the two women, I think you hit it dead on there when you said, I think the Lord's encouraging you, Joshua, to go and lay hands as opposed to, you know, there's Zoom rooms and people do get miraculously healed. You know, we watched some woman's foot was swollen and we just commanded it to go down. We watched it on the camera go down. You know, I mean, just, it's awesome. You know, God doesn't have any distance. But that dream, Josh, it sounds like the Lord's trying to tell you to get out and go, like Michael said, lay hands on people, you know.
That's where your faith comes in. You have to trust the Lord to believe what the Word says. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? Anybody got anything else? Well, all right, I'm going to talk a little bit tonight. Let me do something here. In Matthew 24:13, it says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. What's that to the end of? It's to the end of the trial that you're going through. It's to the end of the circumstance that you're going through. And those people out there say it's just the whole picture of salvation. And that's true, but it's also about our each situation that we go through, each little circumstance that we go to. That, you know, back when Moses and that bunch was out in the desert, they were in a trial for water. They had they were in a trial for food. They were in a trial for, you know, snake bites. And he said, he that endureth to the end of every one of those trials and tribulations is going to be saved. And what does that mean? Well, that means that he's going to take care of you. We're being saved continuously because we endure in these trials, in our faith. And some people don't see the necessity in enduring these little trials, but that's what God attributes righteousness to. Did you know that? He attributes righteousness to Abraham. Remember that? Because he believed the promise. He believed what God had told him. He trusted in what God had told him. Now, when he started out, he didn't quite get it. His faith wasn't that hot at the beginning. But if you go back and read it, he made some mistakes, but he learned from those mistakes. And he was interested in God, and he learned as he went by his mistakes. And you know what? God didn't attribute that foolishness to him because he did that. He endured in his faith. Anyway, I think that's what we have to learn in every one of these little trials that we go through and these little circumstances that come up. When we pray and we believe, then we endure to the end in faith in God on these little trials, that these bigger ones, when they come up, we can handle them. We can absolutely believe God for them and take one more step in that way of righteousness that Jesus was talking about. You know, when Jesus was explaining the parable of the sower, and in the parable, one of those seeds fell upon the rocky places, and it didn't have a whole lot of dirt there. And when they sprang up, it didn't have the deepness of that earth. And what happened? That sun rose and scorched it because it didn't have any root. They fell away. And there were, if you remember, there are four different groups there. And that was one of the groups. But you know, this is one of the biggest problems. And it's going to be a terrible problem in the days ahead because God is coming to the place where he's going to purge his church. There's only one of those seeds that was sown that sprouted roots and grew and bear fruit. One out of four. One out of four. And that's the church people. There's no time left for people to walk the fence. You know that. I think all of you know that. God's going to put us in one camp or the other. And that tribulation is going to happen whether we're ready for it or not. What's going to happen? You're either going to die in the wilderness or endure in your faith until the end. And then you're going to enter into the promised land. The problem is receiving the word of God with joy and thankfulness is not enough according to this explanation. Because many people rejoice and they jump up and down at what you preach. You know, you can preach a sermon that gets everybody fired up, but then they go out and to live it is something else. And that's the thing that separates the men from the boys. If you're going to endure in holding on to that word and not giving up. And we know the Bible promises us that because of the Word of God that we have sown in our heart. You have to sow it in your heart before you can ever grasp it. You know that. And the Word also says we're going to receive tribulation and persecution because of the Word. And if you're holding to what God tells you, people are going to come against you. People in your family are going to come against you. But if we endure to the end in our faith, we're going to see, we're going to claim that land, just like Ken's song said. Because the Israelis, remember them, they received the promises of God in Egypt. Now, most of them were tried in the wilderness to see if they're going to hold on to that promise. And those who didn't hold on to that promise, they died out there in the wilderness. And they didn't enter into the promised land like the two, Joshua and Caleb, did, who came back with the good report. They were tried. And they had to go to their wilderness experience. They couldn't, most of them couldn't make it. But guess what? We're going to go through ours too. We don't have any choice but to be overcomers and to hold fast to what the Word of God promises us. It's a trust thing. It's to trust in God to understand that He's going to fulfill His promises in us if all we do is endure in our faith. You know, some of those things that people talk about overcoming don't really matter. The only thing that really matters is, do you believe in Jesus as your Savior and that He ultimately saved your soul? And what matters to God with each and every one of us is this: the knowledge that He has put in every one of us is going to be judged separately and distinctly from one another according to what's written on our hearts and the understanding that He gave us. Now, in Matthew 13, it's talking about the seed that was sown, remember? We just talked about it. And that's the only thing that you're responsible for. And if you're going to hold fast to that seed that was sown, I don't think God's going to judge a Baptist about healing like He's going to judge you and I about healing, because God has blessed you and us to understand a whole lot more. So we're held more accountable to the seed that was sown in our hearts. Hebrews 10 and 26 says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sin." That is, if the Lord doesn't put that truth in people's heart that miracles, healings, works, signs, and wonders are for today. And I'm telling you, they are. I could give you my little testimony right quick. When I first became a Christian, I was healed within a few months of when I became when I was baptized and I was in a Baptist church, and I was healed in a bookstore of a rotating cup in my right arm, my right shoulder. And I knew right then that they wasn't telling me the truth. And so I went and I grabbed a hold of somebody who knew what he was talking about and learned that God backs up every time that we believe. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. "But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were enlightened, ye endured a great conflict of suffering." Now listen, it worked with them too. And why is that? Well, for one thing, we're trying to hold on to something that you can't see, and trying to say and confess something that you can't see, and that tends to make us schizophrenic. Just to be honest with you, it tears you. It makes you want to go one way and then the other. So it's a conflict, especially when you stick up for it amongst all the pagans out there. As you probably know, you get hammered from both sides, you know. It says in verse 33, "partly being made a gazing stock." In other words, it's not wrong for you to be a gazing stock, and it's not wrong for you to necessarily to be put down by the heathen that's in your family, even the heathen Christians, bless God, because they'll do it too. They'll come against you too. Hebrews 10 and 33 says, "partly being made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly becoming partakers with them that were so used." In other words, agreeing with other people that are in the midst of tribulation and sticking up for them when they're being misused because they stand for Christ. Standing for Christ can mean nothing if you're not standing for what he said. Verse 34 says, "For you both had compassion on him that were in bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your possessions, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Cast not away, therefore, your boldness, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience or endurance or steadfastness, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise." And obviously, he's talking about the people who did the will of God, and they had to pay for it because of that persecution and that tribulation that came on. But because they stood for the word, he said that they needed patience, and having done that, they might receive the promise. And here's what we're talking about in Matthew 13 and verse 20. "He that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word, and straightway with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, straightway he stumbleth." People won't have patience. They won't have endurance. They won't endure the trial of their faith or persecution for standing up for Christ, or the fear of the devil throws at them, because they're trying to trust in the Lord for healing. You can be persecuted not only by men, but by the devil too and his demon continuously. They'll hammer you. They're doing their best to get you to move away from the word of God and to give it up. And if you give up the word, the seed won't be fruitful, like in 1 John 3 said, the word abideth. Does it abideth or does it not abideth? If it's born of God, it'll abideth. Any place you're born of God in that particular part of your life, it's because you held on to the word. The places that you give the word up, you are unfruitful and not born of God. The point is, we've got these great promises, just like they did before they crossed the Red Sea. He wanted to see if they would believe him, and God was angry because they didn't. And what did he do? He killed them. He killed them out there in the wilderness. You know, and that's still happening today. The great falling away, the greatest part is about to happen. Tribulation causes some people to rise up higher, and it causes some people to sink. And so the great falling away is when the great tribulation happens, because that trial comes on them and they have trouble believing God. Look out for the mark. Those are the things that happen to you to try to tear you away from your standing in faith in the word. You know, we really do need boldness, and not to give it up, which hath great recompense and reward. And we need to know. We need to be patient and endure, so that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a very little while, he that cometh shall come and shall not tarry. Some people say that's talking about the coming of the Lord, but I see it coming as the Lord, coming of the Lord in me. Because when I endure the trial of my faith, he's coming in me, praise God. And if I don't endure, then I'm not being born of God, and the seed's not being manifested in me. In verse 38, Hebrews 10 says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith." And that's not Jesus, by the way. It's talking about his body. "But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrink back, my soul hath no pleasure in him." In other words, whatever we know about the word of God, we're held responsible to walk by faith in it, you know, and that's what pleases God the most. And if we shrink back, fall away, or don't have endurance or patience to see the end of our faith, then that does displease God. When Abraham was a baby in the Lord, he wasn't judged the same way as Abraham was when he got older, was he? That great man of faith that Hebrews talks about, that's not the same one that had Ishmael. So we're all growing up into that place. And as long as we're growing and we're bearing fruit, that's good. That's the way God sees us. We're walking in all that we know, then That's fine. We're getting the promises. Verse 39, but we are not of them that shrink back into perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. In the United States especially, most materialistic people are really impatient, and they want things right now. We got that McDonald attitude. I got to have it right now. And they've created this convenient religion that gives you all you need right there. But the fact that we have to endure to the end makes us understand that we aren't going to see answers right away. I'm telling you, you won't. And there are people that go from place to place looking for that instantaneous healing from the Lord, and they never see it. Sometimes. Some do, some don't. And the reason they never see it is because they don't lack faith for themselves. They think that the great man of God is going to give it to them. But at a point in time, God makes you and holds you responsible for your faith. If you were to consider the percentages of the miracles that happen in these great faith healers ministry, I'm telling you, you find out they're real low. The overwhelming majority of the people that they prayed for either never manifested a healing, or they manifested it after a period of time by enduring in their faith. And yet people want to run to these people, but they don't see the lines that go past these people. All they hear about is the ones that do get these few little old testimonies. So if you don't manifest patience and growth in your faith when you get an instantaneous miracle, that's important. Look, I like to see those instantaneous miracles all the time. I wish it happened every time that we prayed for somebody, but it doesn't, because God is working that endurance out in every one of them. That's not even God's wish. A lot of people, when they get prayed over, when they don't see that manifestation, they immediately say, "Why, they didn't get that healed. How come I didn't get my healing?" Well, that's because they're walking by sight and there's not any faith in it. You can't grow in faith that way. That doesn't teach you how to grow in faith from your life. But when you look in your soul and say that Jesus is living in me by faith, that's what Paul did. He was walking by faith and not by sight. And we have to ourselves too. You can't look at what you see with your natural eyes and hear with your natural ear. You have to look with your spiritual eyes and hear with your spiritual ears. I hear what God says, not what the doctor says. I see what God sees, not what the people around me see. It's really important to have these trials of faith on these exterior things that we can eventually see, so that we can apply them to the interior things that we can't see. You know, in my own life, I've seen many mighty miracles, but those aren't the ones that I really consider the victory. The ones that I really consider the victory are the ones that I have endured and had to hold on to and fight for in that warfare of faith until I did see that manifestation. Now, that was a battle. And that was faith. That was enduring in my faith to see it happen. You know, it's been my experience, and I'm sure most of y'all's, a lot of times that the Lord doesn't give you the salvation at the beginning when you ask for it. And I'm talking for whatever reason that you're asking the Lord for healing, deliverance, or whatever. It doesn't come most of the time until the end, for the reason that it tries your faith and your patience. God wants us to learn patience. And it's happened many times for myself. In fact, right now I'm in a battle for some things in my life. And I know that God's going to bring it to pass because he said, God said, you know, that's what we do. God said. So if God said it, I believe it. If I believe it, it's going to happen. And some of you might be saying, well, how long does it have to be? How long do I have to wait to see something? This verse in Psalms 81, is about enduring. If you're going to endure and make it to the end to see the manifestation of your prayers, 81 and 13. Oh, that my people would hearken unto me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my head against their adversary. Well, what's our adversary? Well, first of all, we have to listen to God and not to anything else, right? We can't even listen to our own understanding. Just listen to God. Get your eyes on the Word. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. So we have to listen to the Word of God and walk according to that. And if you're listening, walk in that direction. Walk as though it is an accomplished fact, as though it's already in your hand. You walk that faith out. You confess it with your mouth. Because James 2:20 says, faith without works is dead. If you believe you've received it, then I can speak as though you have received. Remember Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye received them. That's past tense. And ye shall have them. He said in Psalms 81:14, back to that, I would soon subdue their enemy. What's our enemy? That's everything we're fighting against, every trial that we go through. That enemy that's out there that's coming against us, that's our flesh, the curse of the law. That's what we all are struggling against, and that's the curse of the law. He said he would soon subdue our enemies and turn his hand against our adversary. In other words, he'd manifest the thing we've asked for real soon. Abiding in faith until the end is the most important part. Hebrews 6 and 11. And we desire that each one of you may show the same diligence unto the fullness of hope, even to the end, that you be not sluggish, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, you can be sluggish because you just don't think it makes any difference. But listen, it does to God. Every trial we go through means something to God. And if you don't believe it, go back and read the story from when they went through the wilderness. Every individual trial meant something to God. And it's important to God that we walk through them by faith, that we imitate those who through faith and patience, whether it was the prophets or anybody else that you know, to inherit the promises. There's a lot of people out there who are claiming these things, starting out by faith, but there are a whole lot fewer that come through the other end by faith. Many are called, but few are chosen. The ones that inherit the promises. You know, that our Christian life ought to be wrought with miracles. It was for the Jews even. And we have a covenant based on better promises than they did. It says in Hebrews 6 and 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, since he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And thus, having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And boy, he did have to endure for a while, didn't he? Against all the odds of the natural mind and the reason. He had to endure and walk, and that's the way it is with us sometimes. Verse 16, for men swear by the greater, in every dispute of theirs, the oath is final for confirmation. And of course, we're commanded not to make oaths, are we? We're not, or to take oaths or promise, because it's not in our power to even keep it a one of them. But we are commanded not to do that in scriptures by James and Jesus, because we can't guarantee anything, can we? Only thing we can guarantee is what the Word of God says. Verse 17, wherein God, being minded to show more abundantly unto the heirs of the promise, the immutability of his counsel, interposed with an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is possible impossible, I'm sorry, for God to lie, we may have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before. What's those two immutable things he's talking about there? He only made one promise, but he said two immutable things. God didn't have to make an oath or swear that what he already said was true. The two things was the promise that he originally made and the oath that he made on top of it. He said, not only do I make these promises to you, but I'm going to swear on top of that that I'm going to do it. So if he does that, what makes us think that we can't believe God for him? It's impossible for God to lie. He's given us these promises, and he's going to back up his word every time we believe, because it is impossible for God to lie. And we can walk that away. There's a lot of reasons why people don't make it to the end of the trial. And one of the main ones is they think it's possible for God to lie. Now, they wouldn't come out and say God's lying, but their innermost thought is that this verse might not be for me. They wouldn't confess that God's a liar, but that's what they're saying by their actions and by their giving up in their faith. He gave us an anchor for our soul. This strong encouragement that he gave us in verse 18 of these two immutable things. You know, sometimes he gives you more than two. You know, when you flip open the Bible by faith and it falls open to a confirming verse, he gives us more assurances lots of time. And he does for me. I've seen him do it many times, confirm things that I've asked him. Hebrews 6 and 19, which we have as an anchor of the soul. And that's something that'll hold you steadfast and keep you from moving. And the Word of God will do that if you keep your mind on it. A hope both sure and steadfast and entering into that which is within the veil. That's the high priesthood, okay? Whether as a forerunner, that's the Melchizedek priesthood of the believers, Jesus entered for us, having become a high priest ever after the order of Melchizedek. If he was a forerunner to become a high priest, well, obviously that order didn't stop with Jesus, did it? But going within that veil, that's enduring in your faith to see that promise manifested. You can fellowship with God. You can do that. The Old Testament people couldn't do that. That's where God is. That's the Holy of Holies. And we don't have to have a priest in between us and God. We can come into full communication and fellowship with him. We can know him as he is. So we have need of patience, that having done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Whether you like it or not, the way to get patience is tribulation. I don't like it, and I know you don't. But that's the only way. And we think it's a strange thing. Strange thing when that happens to us. How come most of the time we're surprised when that tribulation, oh Lord, how come that tribulation coming on us? You know, when that's the only way to make patience in our life, for God to get that patience in us, is to endure to the end and receive the manifestation of the promise. Father, I'm doing everything I know to do, and yet you put this on me. No, he's doing it there's two reasons why God put bad things on us. Two reasons. One of them is it's a test of your faith. And the other one is to get your attention back on him because you've strayed. Okay? That's the two reasons. When tribulation comes on us, that's the only way to patience. In our life, patience is the only way to endure to the end and receive that manifestation of the promises. James 5 and 10, take brethren for an example of suffering and of patience, the prophets who spake in the name of the Lord. Behold, we call them blessed that endured. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, how that the Lord is full of pity and merciful. Now, we hadn't seen the end of the Lord, but we seen the end that the Lord had for Job, didn't we? What happened to him? Man, he was blessed after it was all over. The patience of Job was what brought the end that the Lord had for Job. And that was a blessing. And he finally got to manifest what God had been calling him to all along by faith, and that was perfection. He entered into the veil, spiritually speaking, because of his patience. Sometimes it didn't look like Job had that patience, but considering what he was going through, he had patience. You know how we know Job was patient? Because his wife was going through the same thing. What'd she say? She told him, she said, "Dost thou still hold fast thine integrity? Renounce God and die, boy." She was a good example of those who don't endure patiently to the end. We get our hearing from the word of God. Faith comes of hearing, and hearing by the word. Job 2:10 says, "Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" Verse 10, it says, "In all this did not Job sin with his lips." God made sure that people understand that what Job said was the truth. A lot of people says he spoke falsely. That was an evil thing for Job to say. But God said, "In all this did not Job sin with his lip." Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? That's what he's talking about there. God gives us evil too to manifest that sonship that he wants us to get into. 1 Peter 2:19, "For this is acceptable if for conscience toward God a man endureth griefs." Suppose you ask God for a healing, and yet you don't see it manifested, and you're in pain, or you pray over somebody else for healing, and you don't see it manifested, and they're in pain. Is that okay? Well, verse 19, "For this is acceptable if for conscience toward God a man endureth griefs, suffering wrongfully." You know, you can suffer wrongfully at the hands of men, demons, and situation. How come it's wrongfully? Because you didn't necessarily do anything to reap that. Did Job? It seems obvious to me that he was self-righteous. And, you know, and he even confessed that, but he endured griefs, not because he'd done wrong. He had done wrong. He was tried by these men that were telling him that because it was, they thought he had sinned, that this thing happened to him. And what God tell him? "You did not speak rightly of me to my servant Job." They didn't speak rightly. They weren't speaking for God when they said, "Job, you sinned. That's why this came on you." They weren't speaking for God. That's not the reason it came upon him. Job suffered griefs, but it wasn't necessarily because he sinned. It was because God wanted to change his heart internally. But by his actions, he was a good and righteous man. So you can do right and you will. But you know, God chastens every son that he receives, even the ones that do right. So how do you get chastening sometimes when you do right? Well, one thing, you can ask God for something and not immediately see the answer. That's chastening. If you ask God to heal you for a period of time, you have to endure a grief. That's a chastening. He chastens every son that he receives. It not only comes upon those that do wrong, but it comes upon those that are wrong. You can be wrong and not do wrong. You can be wrong inside and not submit yourself to the wrong on the outside. And what God's interested in is making us into something that's not wrong. In 1 Peter 2:20 it says, "For what glory is it if when you sin and are buffeted for it?" Well, there ain't no glory in sin and getting buffeted for it. When you get glory, what you get glory for is when you don't sin and you get chastened anyway. "You shall take it patiently. But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you shall take it patiently." Well, in other words, it don't make any difference whether you deserve it or not. Or if you think you deserve it or not, you're going to take it patiently. And that's acceptable with God. That's grace with God. 1 Peter 2:21, "For hereunto were you called." This is what we're called for. We're called to be children of God, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Is it possible that we wouldn't do wrong, yet we would go through hard things, and that would be God judging righteously? 2 Thessalonians 1 and 4 says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions. You know, a lot of people get self-righteous when they go through persecutions and trials because they think they didn't do anything wrong. How come God going to let this happen to me? Because he's a God of love and he loves us so much that why is he letting this happen to me? Verse 4 in 2 Thessalonians 1, in all your persecutions and in the afflictions which ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, to the end that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. So it's righteous that God judges us. It is righteous sometimes that God doesn't give us an immediate answer, because that's sometimes part of God's chastening on us. And it's not that we aren't supposed to endure in our faith to the end. That's what we're supposed to do. And it don't make any difference if we haven't been perfect. You still have to endure in your faith to the end. You still claim and you confess the end at the beginning. That is God's way. That's how he's already taught us. He's taught us all of these things. We confess those things that we know to be true, yet we can't see them, right? No matter what we go through, it is a righteous judgment. Whatever we go through, we deserve and we need. And a lot of times, people accuse God or they question God because of what they're going through, and they give up in that trial of their faith. Would you consider the suffering that you suffered between the time you prayed and the time it was manifested? Would you consider it worth going through? Or would you immediately try to escape it? Well, most of us want to get out of it. A lot of people don't think you're supposed to endure any grief and went to see a prayer answered God's way. And a lot of times they do just like Job's friends. Man, you missed God somewhere. You need to repent. You didn't get it manifest. You've got to go through all this praying. Go do something else. Well, that's not true. Listen, I've suffered a lot of pain because I decided we're going to go ahead and do it God's way. And it's worth it. It's worth it because of the patience that's manifest. It's worth it for the endurance that grows in your life to see God answers prayers miraculously for all the testimony, because God attributes righteousness to you when you do it his way. It's just worth it. One reason that people endure in their faith is because they do love the Lord. The Bible says the Lord did that himself in Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the beginning and the finisher of our faith. Just like Abraham, you could follow Jesus' life and you can see he had a beginning and an end to his faith. And what happened? He became a strong man of faith, praise God, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and hath sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that's set before us, we're going to endure the cross and deny ourselves. And that's what Jesus expects of us. That's the cross that Jesus wants us to bear. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's what Jesus said. You'll have joy. You'll have peace in your heart. You'll know that Christ is going to back you up. That's Jesus that I know. Jesus endured his trial because he saw that because of his death that others would be saved. He went to his death because he wanted us to be saved. Me, you, every one of us. He did that for all of us. People give up that trial that they're in, an endurance, because they fear. They fear. They fear that God might not be able to do it. Well, I'm telling you, he can. He has, and he will. Praise God. Now, that devil will sit up there on your shoulder every time, and he'll tell you every time, you can't listen to that garbage, because I'm going to tell you, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get pain. You're going to die. That leg going to fall off. That head's going to fall off. You know, whatever it is. Your family is not going to come back, you know, because you're doing this silly stuff with God. Man, you can't be doing that. Do I believe God, or do I believe man? Well, the word says if you believe God, you're going to win every time. Every time. I know that we have family members that we've been praying for. Many of us have family members that we've been praying for. And we see them doing some of the most ungodly stuff. And we can't get sidetracked by what we see. If we have prayed that prayer of faith and we believe what the word says, we know that they're going to be saved. We know that. We don't have to worry about it. All we have to do is endure in our faith to the end and know that God is working in their lives. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. All we know is what they're telling us. You know, I get telephone calls all the time from home. You know, this is doing that. This is going on. This is going on. The boy, one of them been jail. This, all this other stuff. You know what I tell them? I've learned this now. It's not something that came on me automatically. I had to learn it. I say, well, let's pray. Let's just pray and believe. After a while, you quit getting those kind of calls. Because they know your solution is praying. They don't want to hear praying. They want you to come home and do something, you know. Well, what can I do? What can you do that God can't do better? All I can do is mess up what God's doing. But if I sit back and I believe God and rest in the knowledge that he's going to save my family, then guess what? It's going to come about a whole lot sooner than if I got out there and tried to interfere in what God's doing. Sometimes he has to take our family members to places that we don't want to see them go because we love them. But it's best for them, because God knows what's best for them, right? He knows how stubborn they are at times. So we just have to sit back and watch and believe and rest and just have a big old grin on our face, because we know they're coming in. And, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to have a picnic with all those family members that we have been believing for. Believe it. All right, I'm going to stop right there and ask if anybody else has anything they'd like to say about enduring in your faith.
I actually do. This is Joshua again.
Yes, sir, Joshua.
I just want to thank you for that word. I want to tell you, I got a lot of conviction here, because I've been struggling. I think you might know already. I've been fighting against an infirmity in my flesh. I've been dealing with a lot of problems with my thyroid, and I've been pleading with God to, you know, I'm not going to lie, but I've been pleading with him to take it away, because it's been rough. I've been to the ER a couple times of tachycardia and all this other stuff, and it's been rough. So I just hearing that, it really, what you said about endurance is, you know, I want to be, I keep telling God, and God knows this, I want to be that servant that endured, that prevailed, that got through, you know, and that's my prayer. That's been my prayer since day one as well. I want to have the faith that's pleasing to be a doer of the will of God, you know, and it's been hard, because I've been sitting here complaining. I'm not going to lie. People know, if they know me, they know, and I do have to confess and repent of that a lot. I've been complaining a lot because of how I've been feeling, because my chest, I'm in constant severe chest pain, and it's hard. It's very hard keep faithful and keep going. But I keep going, and I'm here because, like you said earlier, I do love the Lord. I really do, and I'm not going to just walk out on Him. So, I thank you for this message.
Yeah, really, can I make a suggestion for you?
Yeah.
I can suggest to you to do something that I always do. When that devil comes on me and I get a pain, whatever, you know, something comes on me, I get up immediately and I start praising God and I thank God that He's my God. I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. I have received my healing. Whether you feel like it or not, it don't make any difference. But what you're doing, you're glorifying God through all of this. And I know it's hard, but if you'll just do that, you'll go through this trial a whole lot quicker.
Yes, I thank you, because I think I've been asking or telling God, because I think it's the lack of maturity on my part, because I do acknowledge that, and I do see that in my life. And it's just, you're right, it's been hard, and it's been hard to praise and worship a lot of times our Lord, because it's just so much pain, and it's like, really, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Why is this? Why? You know, I've been asking why a lot, and I don't want to. But I do it anyway, and I'm like, why? You know.
Amen. Well, that's what I do. I just get up and I start thanking God, and just tell the devil, hey, devil, I have received my healing because the Word of God says I have. Back there in Mark 11:24, I have received my healing. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you. You know, do all of that stuff. Make the devil mad, man. Make that devil mad. I love to make that devil mad. And I love to see a grin on Jesus' face, because that's what you get when you do that. Just like Job, Joshua. That's just like Job. You know.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for Joshua. I thank you for his heart toward you, Lord. I know he loves you, Lord. And I thank you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching him patience. You're teaching him endurance in his faith. And I thank you, Lord, for placing great and bold faith in Joshua right now in the name of Jesus. We come against this thyroid condition, ever what it is. We command it to go from him right now in the name of Jesus. And from this point on, we confess with our mouth that Joshua is healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. And from this point on, he's walking by faith, confessing it before men. I don't have no thyroid problem. What you talking about? It ain't mine, man. That's the devil's. It ain't mine. I don't have nothing to. And I praise you, Lord, that Joshua is healed in Jesus' name. Everybody in here believe with me? Praise God. They do. So you're healed, brother.
Amen. Agree. I touch and agree. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Father. Hey, Willie. Praise God. All right. Anybody else on enduring in your faith?
I know I had to be corrected about enduring in faith. I have a good friend. His name is David. When we get together, you know, we pray. And the prayers, the Spirit would show up and the prayers would be really good. And you know when the Spirit is there. But it was, I would say, almost 2 days ago, the Lord corrected me. Because we've been dealing with a trial concerning his wife. And for some reason, I just could not set it in my heart where I saw this woman ever receiving any form of the salvation of Jesus Christ. Even when I would try to pray, I couldn't see it. I would have to, you know how you got to come up with, oh, Lord, you know, if you just, you know, help her out, and, you know, just turn her around. When my true feelings was, oh, Lord, if you would just get this woman out of his life and just everything would be so much better, and it just, this would be easy. And the Lord corrected me, and he said, when you pray, you're unable to endure in prayer for her because we don't pray according to the love of Christ. And I said, love me with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's how you should approach me in prayer, and praying for others and to love your neighbor as yourself. You're unable to, you know, to wrestle against the principalities and powers that are ruling in her life because you have unbelief. You have enmity against who she is as a person. And the way he did it, it was a part where Jesus said, I come not to judge the world. He says, I judge no man, but if I do judge, my judgment is true. And that's where the Lord caught my attention. Not praying with the gospel in view. I saw only, you know, the outward superficial nature of this woman. And I kept basing salvation on what I saw, you know, in her actions. Oh, that had never come along. Oh, it had never happened. Oh, man. It really, really, and I'm laughing right now, but the secret of very powerful, you know, and tearing down the strongholds of the enemy is approaching all prayer in grace. The same grace that was exercised on you, the same way the Father loved you and pulled you out of the pit, should be the same approach that you have toward others, no matter what you see with your natural eyes. And that will, you will immediately begin to see the strongholds of the enemies, the principalities and powers that are ruling over that person's life begin to diminish. You'll begin to see their ears open, you know, changes begin to happen, and you will know by confirmation of the Spirit that is going to happen. And I can't explain it, but when you pray with the gospel in view over someone, you just, it's just this unusual, it's the Spirit that will, you know, I wish I can get it out the right way. I can feel it right here, the way I want to say it, but you immediately just go through with your sword and you know you're cutting something. And you know you're releasing, and you know you're tearing down, and you have such a better view. And that, I guess that's the best way I can put it.
Amen. You can't look at them in the flesh. You have to look at them in the Spirit, don't you? You have to see Christ in them.
Amen. And that, I kept looking at that flesh and looking at that flesh. And looking, and it was just like, Lord, I just wish this woman would go away. But I was trying to hold back those thoughts, but they were there so prevalent that they kept me from ministering to her after, you know, the gospel, the good news. I had contrary-wise against her in my heart.
Amen. Thank you, Willie. That was good. All right, Judy, what you got? Can't hear you.
I was just going to say that I haven't really professed this yet, but I've been healed. My thyroid has been healed. I wanted to kind of, have maybe a blood test just so I could tell everybody, hey, my blood test is perfect. I had it done about 2 months ago, and she said it was perfect, and I had dropped down to half. So I thought, well, if it's perfect, why am I even taking this other half? So I just said, thank you, Lord, for healing me and drop that too. So I haven't taken it now for a couple months, and I just want to see the glory when they say, oh, your thyroid is perfect. Keep taking that medicine.
Amen.
So thank you, Father, for healing my thyroid.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that her thyroid is perfect in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Got something I'd like to share on faith. John 14:14 says, if you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do it. You tell that to Satan when he comes around to you. Listen, Satan, it's written in the Word of God right there. If you shall ask anything in my name, that's Jesus' name. I've taken on his character. I've looked in the mirror. I see Jesus here. That's what I'm doing. 1 Corinthians 3:18. I'm walking just like Jesus. I'm walking in his steps. See, I'm putting you on notice right now. You're on the run, Jack. He's got to go. That's the attitude you have to take in this faith walk. You cannot allow the enemy to get in there and start making a double-minded man out of you. Remember what James said? He's unstable in all his ways, that double-minded man is. We can't be double-minded and walk. Listen, this time we're coming into a head, you're not going to have Walmarts to run to or the drugstore or the doctors or whatever. You're going to have to walk by faith. And that's the reason God's bringing tribulation on, is so that his church would come into that faith walk that he so desires each one of us to walk in. We've been blessed here. We've had the good teachings of the real good news and other things that we understand faith. And we walk by it best we can. We have to be encouraged every now and then, and that's okay. But I'm telling you, it's going to come a time when he's going to require of each one of us our faith in him. And that's why we're going through these trials right now. It's so that when the time does come, we can teach other people the same thing that we've gone through. That's what it's for. It's to mature us as a son of God. All of creation is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. You know why they're waiting? Because they're all under the curse. And these manifest sons of God that are coming on the scene here shortly, it's going to take the curse away from those of God's people. And I'm going to tell you something now. The enemy is going to be shaking in his boots because of these powerful men and women of God that's coming on the scene. Because we have gone through these trials that he's put us through. We have endured in our faith and believed the promises of God. Amen. All right, we got a little time left. Somebody want to go ahead? Go ahead, Chad.
Yeah, I was thinking on a few testimonies. A trial the Lord brought me through a few months ago now. There were some ants that showed up in our apartment here, and a couple of years before that, a couple of years or so, we had ants here for maybe about a year and a half. I was just constantly, you know, rebuking them and killing ants, and then a pest control company was contacted by the management of the apartment complex we live in, and they came and they sprayed up in the attic at the end of the complex. We're in the middle here, and then, you know, all the ants disappeared. But I was, you know, thinking like, well, I was praising the Lord, and I was thanking the Lord that the ants were gone, but that wasn't really the victory I was looking for. So anyway, they showed up here. Lord gave me another chance, and the ants showed up here a few months ago. And, you know, I had this thought, like, I wonder how long this is going to go on now. But, like, nope, that's complaining. Forgive me, Lord. So I just started killing ants and praising the Lord. And I started thinking, you know, I just need to speak the promises. I just need to think on the promises, the promise that I'm not under the curse. These ants are not a blessing, not really. So I just really started thinking on that and speaking that and getting my heart really right and set to endure through it, to not complain. I didn't know how long it was going to go on, but I don't think it went on for a week. What happened was I just started saying, there are no ants in this apartment. Anytime I'd see ants, that's what I felt to say. There are no ants in this apartment. You know, call the things that be not as though they were. And so I was doing that, and then I was only seeing a few. And then, you know, I killed maybe one or two. And then the following day, there were just a whole posse of them on our table and crawling up the legs of the table. And you know, I felt no discouragement. I felt no, I felt nothing but faith and peace. And I didn't even say it at the last. I just thought it real clear in my mind. There are no ants in this apartment. And, I, I killed a whole bunch of them that were on the table and anyone I could find. And the next day, there was not a single ant in this apartment, and I've not seen one since. Praise the Lord. And what the Lord really impressed on me through that and reminded me was that He's really looking for my heart attitude to be right. You know, I've had a lot of victories in rebuking things, whether, you know, sickness or fever or infirmity or pain or a number of things. And the Lord's brought some wonderful victories. I've got some long-standing trials I've been still standing in faith for, and God's been helping me get my heart right there, too. And I really appreciate what, you know, Brother Joshua and Willie just shared, and that was encouraging to me. And a reminder just to endure, just to hang in there, and don't allow thoughts of, well, how long is this going to go on? And to discourage me and to start swaying and to start worrying and being anxious. You know what, and what you shared, Michael, about suffering wrongfully, I really bore witness on that, because you know, I thought many times that, well, Lord, my heart is right, and you know, I'm praising you through this. I've been doing that for a while, and how come this thing just keeps coming back around? I'm going through a physical trial that that I've suffered with for about 20 years now, and I've had, you know, times where there have been like cycles where I felt like no pain, and almost like I was, like that healing was ready to just completely manifest, but then I'd get hit again, and I'd go through it again, and it's been repeated cycles, you know, over the years. But what I found myself becoming strengthened. I've really found myself becoming strengthened in the spirit, and getting my heart right, and just getting to where I don't even, even though the pain is there at times, and the weakness and the frustration sometimes, I just don't focus on it. I just praise the Lord anyway through it, and just hang in there and really strive to keep my mind right, you know, to rest in the Lord in the midst of it. And the Lord's really been helping me with that and strengthening me through it. And I've been able to thank Him so many times as well for these trials, and this one in particular, this physical trial. It's something I went to about 8 different doctors for about 20 years ago, and they all, you know, were, well, it was just a runaround, and they charged me for it, and so on and so forth. I won't go into all that now, but it's basically, it's like a weakness in my feet and my ankles that have affected my whole body off and on over the years, and I've suffered a lot of back pain at times, and so on and so forth. But I've really learned something about God's strength being perfected in my weakness, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. And I want to confess that I've been tempted lately to just start thinking, well, maybe there's just some kind of curse on my life that I just can't quite be healed. You know, that maybe there's just something that is there that I'm just going to have to deal with this. And you know, as you've been sharing tonight, and as I've been listening on here, the Lord has just been encouraging me again that no, the promise stands for me, and I just got to stand firm on that and not waver. And so I just want to confess that and ask you to forgive me, Lord, for that, for beginning to entertain that thought at all, Lord. And I thank you that I am completely healed, that it has been finished, Lord. And I receive it completely, Lord. Just please help me to endure this rightly and allow you to do everything in me you want to do, Lord, so that I can be in that place, like Michael just said, of be a fearless warrior of the faith, Lord, in the time to come, and not be swayed by anything around me, in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you, Lord. One other, I know we've just got a few minutes left here, but the Lord is reminding me of another testimony, something that happened back in 2009. He had my wife Charity and I involved with a fellowship in just about 12 miles away from where we live here, on the other side of the river in Washington, Vancouver, Washington. And shortly after, actually, I think it was before we started going to that fellowship, or before the Lord led us to go there, the Lord had put on my heart to invite Henry Groover to speak. I know at least some on here are familiar with who Henry Groover is, if not all. Just in case there's anybody that doesn't, he's somebody who the Lord has had go prayer walking in many, many countries all over the world, and he's just he's a blessing. He's a wonderful man of character and faith, and the Lord put it on my heart to invite him to speak, and I had no idea where I would host him at. I really didn't have many connections at the time. I had just come into UBM and was starting to really get into the teachings, just starting to dive into them then. But the Lord had done a lot of separation between myself and my wife as well, and just some connections that we had had. We'd been involved with some ministry, and there was a lot of just a lot of issues, a lot of problems. I really don't need to go into all the details on that, but the Lord brought about a separation and began to work a lot of cleansing and healing in our lives, and bringing us into a lot more truth through through this ministry. And so I had no idea where I would host Henry, how that was going to work out, or what was going to happen. The Lord just said, invite Henry to speak. Well, that's okay. I got an email from the guy that the guy that coordinates the meetings for Henry around the Pacific Northwest here. And there were some open slots. And the Lord just said, just invite him. And that's all he told me, just invite Henry to speak. Okay, so I'm just going to step out on that and obey you, Lord. So I did, and, I waited and waited. And about a month later, I got an email from Henry's coordinator, and he said, Henry would like to know where he's going to be speaking. And I thought, yeah, I would too. But I just, I didn't waver on it. The Lord just gave me the grace to hang in there. And then, long story short, he led Jerry and I to go to that fellowship across the river from us here, and get involved with that. And come to find out, Henry spoke at one of the first services we went to there. And I thought, oh, they like Henry. Cool. So I ended up talking with the pastor, and the Lord just gave me favor and opened up a door for Henry to come in it was about a month and a half later, and he was just animated that night. The Lord filled the place up. Well, there were maybe about 100 people there, and we had an awesome time of fellowship. And Henry shared an awesome miracle that he had experienced. He had cancer of the spine, and I'll be really quick here because I know we got to get off here, but he had cancer of the spine that nearly killed him. After 5 months of battling with that, he never went to the hospital because he was so steadfast in his faith. He just knew that would not bring glory to God. So he got to where he was ashen gray and he couldn't even keep down water. He was vomiting blood. He said he could bring his wristwatch up over his shoulder. He was so thin and skeletal, but he just hung in there. And, after 5 months, the Lord miraculously healed him, just completely healed him. Well, would you believe that 5 families left that fellowship because of that testimony? Five families factioned out because they said, oh, if he was really a man of faith and a man of God, why would such a terrible thing come on him for so long? That doesn't happen to people, good people, or whatever they said or whatever they thought. They were like, that's not supposed to happen. So we're out of here. And even after that awesome testimony, they thought that, somebody shouldn't go through something like that and suffer like that if they're really walking right with God. And I was kind of flabbergasted, but I realized the Lord had used that to separate some people from that fellowship that just didn't need to be there. So there was a good house cleansing there. But anyway, the Lord worked everything out. And I praise him for that, it's an encouragement to just step out. When the Lord says something, just do it and hold fast, and he'll work everything out as he wants. So Praise the Lord.
Amen. He went through a lot of pain in that too, didn't he?
Yeah, he said, I remember he was talking in the lunchroom. They had a lunchroom there at the church, and he said there was a point where his spirit was going in and out of his body because he was so, you know, I mean, he was right there at death's door, and he said when his body was all skeletal and he was ashen gray, he said it was pretty weird. He said his spirit was going in and out of his body as he's just holding fast and fighting a good fight. So that was pretty intense.
Okay. Hey, Chad, while you're still on here, why don't you go ahead and lead us in prayer, brother?
I would love to. Lord, I thank you so much for this precious, awesome time of fellowship once again. Lord, I thank you for encouraging me in my faith. I thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege of being a part of these brothers and sisters, Lord, who are fighting the good fight of the faith. And I thank you for the good work you're doing among us, Lord, that as we come together, you're unifying us in the faith, Lord, and you're bringing us to the place of unity, Lord, where you're going to command that blessing. And I pray that you'd give us the grace to continue contending, Lord, for the unity of the faith. You've reminded me many times, Lord, that the battle for that is great right now, because once you bring us to that place, your spirit is going to be poured out, and there's no turning back then. There's no, the enemy is not going to stand a chance against us. And I just pray that you'd give us the wisdom and the grace to fight, Lord, to do spiritual warfare, that you would do spiritual warfare through us, Lord, and that we would stand against these spirits and allow you to do the cleansing in us you want to do, Lord, at the same time. And I just pray for a hedge of protection about each one here, Lord, and I pray you continue to be glorified and that your name be lifted up, Lord, and made known through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. One last request. Does anybody have any prayer needs before we close? Okay, good night, everybody. God bless you.